I just want us this morning to soak in some beautiful truths about who God is and who we are in Him. And as Scott's mentioned, we're looking at Psalm 125. There's no doubt that the world is in turmoil just now. And of course, that's not new, right? There is a sense in which that's always been the case, that this creation, as the scriptures say, it's groaning. But there is certainly a uniquely complicated and heartbreaking and concerning situation, not least in the Middle East, but other pockets of conflict and difficulty around the world. At the men's gathering yesterday, we spent a long time just talking through the many different facets of that, and we were really blessed to have Martin's unique insights into those matters. I'm just praying this morning that we'll know the hope of God. It's always a little difficult, right, when it's a new song, but I think that this will end up being a really precious song to us, the one that we just taught. Lift up your eyes. There's hope on the horizon. And I love that it says, oh, look to Christ, right? That's what we want to do in this time. God has said that faith and hope and love will remain. And I just want us praying that we will know the reality of hope that remains, hope in God today. This Psalm 125 is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120 to 134, they're listed as that in your Bible. They're generally held to be songs that the people of Israel would sing as they ascended towards Mount Zion in Jerusalem for their annual religious pilgrimages, and the idea is that they sang these songs as they went up to prepare themselves for worship. So we'll read Psalm 125 together just now. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. That's God's word. So there's three things I just want to share that I'm praying will bring us to that place of hope in God as we, in a sense, day by day, week by week, as we make that pilgrimage in worship as part of our everyday lives, but also as we gather here. I pray that these realities might help us from the psalm. The first thing is this: the strength of those who trust in God. The psalm starts off with a fact. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. If you are someone who trusts in God through, we know, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been mentioning multiple times and singing about through this service, that's how we come to trust in God. The Spirit enables us to see Jesus for who he truly is, the radiance of the glory of God, our Savior and Lord. If you're someone who trusts in God, then you are like Mount Zion. Did you know that? You are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. What does it mean to be like Mount Zion? Well, throughout the scriptures, Mount Zion symbolizes God's power, God's strength and help. It's a symbol of God's blessings and protection. You read about Mount Zion a number of times in Joel chapter 3. And in that chapter, we hear that it's from Mount Zion that God roars and speaks. We're told a number of times that Mount Zion is the place where the Lord dwells. He dwells, he rests there. It's his abode. This is the same God of whom Solomon said in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him. And that yet here it is in Mount Zion that the Lord dwells. It's this place of grandeur and strength and might. So you can see why the New Living Translation takes verse 1, it translates it like this: those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Those who trust in the Lord are strong, secure, enduring, safe. And what's important for us to recognize is that it's not worded here as a prayer. It's not worded here as a request. The psalmist is not, I mean, there's plenty of scriptures that make this point, and it's wonderful that we have scriptures that do say this, but here the psalmist is not saying, Lord, I feel weak, make me strong, please. He's not saying, I'm getting thrown around here in this hurricane that we were singing about earlier. Help me, make me immovable in you. That's a good thing to pray, but it's just not what's being mentioned here. It's a fact. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken, cannot be defeated. I wonder how that lands on you. I guess depending on where you're at just now in multiple different aspects of your life, it will land differently. Maybe for some of us, we can look back on the last months of our lives and see the truth of this reality. We could give examples of how God has made us strong in tough moments. Perhaps for others of us, it might be a huge encouragement, an inspiration for the coming days as we look forward. Thank you, God, we can feel motivated, safe, secure, protected by you. And that can encourage us. Maybe for others of us, it can bring some difficult questions into our lives, right? Why, if this is who I am, I trust in God, try to, by his grace, why then am I struggling so much? If I'm meant to be immovable, like Mount Zion, this incredible picture of strength and immovability, then why do I move so much in my struggles? Why am I shaken so much? Why do I find things so difficult? Why do I fall so short in my own faith? I'm sure many of us can relate to having felt like that. So how do we make sense of this? Well, the key thing is it says, those who trust in the Lord. So what does that mean, to trust in the Lord? It's those who are like Mount Zion. The thing that we have to remind ourselves of day by day is that trusting in the Lord is an active and an ongoing thing. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of hearing phrases like that and treating them almost just as identifiers that we either know that we're part of that group or we're not part of that group. So we can, those who trust the Lord, oh yeah, yeah, maybe you can think back to, oh yeah, I know I'm a Christian. Tick, that's who I am. And that's good and right that we can remember and reflect on things like that. But we have to remind ourselves that those who trust in the Lord is not just a past tense reality. It's not just something that was true and therefore has changed who we are now. It is an ongoing thing, a daily, active, ongoing reality to trust in God. And we have to remember that. Otherwise, verses like Psalm 125, verse 1 can seem a far off reality to us. Let me give you an example. Could you turn back, please, to Psalm 31, and we'll read from verse 9 of Psalm 31. Listen to the turmoil here of David, the psalmist. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Maybe some of us thinking, yeah, I relate to this verse more than Psalm 125, verse 1. It goes on, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the streets flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. Verse 14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do you see here, David is not just relying on some reality, which is true and wonderful from the past, but he's having to find God in the hardest of times. This, friends, is what it means to trust the Lord. And I'm thankful for this church family in that regard, because right across our church family, there are so many wonderful examples of this. People who are experiencing and holding on to hope and trusting Jesus and trusting God and hoping in God despite the deepest struggles, the bleakest difficulties that are coming at them again and again. So many wonderful testimonies in our church, and I'm thankful to be part of this family. You see, it's in that sometimes brave and gutsy, sometimes fragile and flailing, it's in that trust that we are as secure as Zion. When we understand that though everything else around about us may fade away, God has us in his hands and he will never, ever let go of us. Now, of course, this rings true in terms of how the New Testament speaks of strength. What does it mean to be strong in God? That's what Psalm 125 verse 1 is about, that you're strong like Mount Zion. The New Testament has a lot to say about what strength in God looks like. In our weakness and fragility, to know the hope and peace of God is strength for God's people. And there are so many different ways that we can see that. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks of this thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but some deep struggle, either a physical ailment or a relational difficulty, but some deep thing that he prayed to God, asking for God to take it away. The question is, what would it look like to be strong, like Mount Zion, in that scenario? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says this, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Similarly, turn back to Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas are seeking to encourage the early believers. And from verse 21 of Acts chapter 14, it says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. What did it look like for the early believers to be strengthened in their faith? It was to be reminded that through many difficulties, tribulations, struggles, that's how we come to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance, with patience and joy, it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why? For all endurance and patience with joy. And again, isn't it important that we can find even one or two people in our lives who model that for us? Patience with joy before God. Spend time with people like that, and you come away encouraged. You come away strengthened in the grace of God. Dear friend, in Jesus, you are strong, like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Cling to him. He is your life. He is your strength. And that brings us to the next point, the protection over those who trust in God. Verse 2, Psalm 125. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, So the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. One of the things I love to do is to drive around the tiny wee roads on the northwest coast of Scotland and just to behold the wonder of the mountains. Some of you are better than that. Some of you actually like to walk up those mountains. I tend to enjoy them from the warmth of my car with some nice music on. Maybe I'll get the drone out sometimes. But yeah, just to behold these incredible mountains which God has put in place. And here in verse 2, that's what's happening. You can imagine the people as they sang on their way to Jerusalem. They're looking around at the beauty of God's world, looking at these amazing mountains and the natural protection that they offered Jerusalem. And the psalmist draws a link between the way the mountains protect Jerusalem and the way the Lord protects us, his people. In the way that Jerusalem was protected by these hills, the psalmist writes that we are protected by God who encircles us, God who surrounds us and protects us. And I think when you consider verses 1 and 2 of this psalm together, the picture becomes clear. It's not only that as we trust in God, we are made strong and then sent out into the world to kind of fend for ourselves. God knows we need more help than that. So he assures us here in this second verse that we have his help. 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon, listen to the passion that he has as he writes on these verses. He says, "The mountains around the holy city are set like sentinels to guard her gates. His saints are as safe as if they dwelt behind the strongest fortifications. What a double security the two verses set before us. First, we are established and then entrenched, settled and then sentineled, made like a mount, and then protected as if by mountains. This is no matter of poetry. It is so in fact, and it is no matter of temporary privilege, but it shall be so forever." So in verse 1, we're promised strength, and in verse 2, we're promised protection. Now, what is it that we are being protected from? Look in verse 3. The Lord surrounds his people, verse 2, from this time forth and forevermore, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. God is protecting his people from evil, from the scepter of wickedness, from the rule of the wicked. Now, if you're anything like me, when you think of, oh, thank you, God, that I'm protected, I tend to think of that in fairly individualistic terms. You know, thank you, God, that you protect me, so I don't need to fear. I can rest comfortably. I can travel through life confident that God is with me. I don't need to concern myself too much. Those are some of the ways that we can tend to slip into if we think about God's protection. But that's not what the psalm points us to. That's not the reason here as to why God protects his people. Instead, we are protected from evil here so that we don't fall into the same pattern. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. The CSB says it a bit more plainly. He just says, the scepter of wickedness will not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous will not stretch out their hands to do wrong. God wants to protect you as the mountains surround Jerusalem, but the protection that is described here isn't mainly a protection that stops bad things from happening to you. It's a protection that stops you and us from doing bad things. God protects us so we are enabled to walk in his path, so we can live aligned with his heart for the world. And it's a different way of reflecting on this, where we would say, God, thank you. that I'm safe and secure in you. Thank you that I am protected. Thank you that the wicked will not rule over those who trust in God. Now, let me know that protection day in and day out. Protect my hands from doing wrong. Protect my mind from thinking wrong things. Protect my mouth from speaking the wrong way. Protect my heart from having bitter attitudes. We need to know the protection of God, lest we, as his people, stretch out our hands and do wrong. I want you to know you're strong and safe and secure in God. I want you to know you're protected by God. No matter what happens, the people of God will not be ruled over by the powers of darkness. We are protected from that so that we can then live with that righteousness that he gives us in Christ Jesus. A wonderful truth. You're strong, you're protected, but there's still a prayer that comes here in the psalm. I love it. We still need to pray it. I love that the writer is, even though he's so sure of these facts about who God is, he still prays for help. So the last thing is the prayer of those who trust in God. Verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But to those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. He prays for those who are good and upright in their hearts that God would do good to them. Now, we know that any goodness that we have this morning is only that which is granted to us by grace through faith in our union with Jesus Christ. And any goodness we have in us is just that which the Holy Spirit enables to grow in us day by day as we behold the face of Christ and are changed from glory to glory. That's the only goodness we have. It's all grace, right? So we can and we should thank God. But we should also pray for God's goodness to be known and experienced and tasted, felt in our lives and to be seen by others. The psalmist knows that God's people are secure and that God is protecting them, but still he prays for God's goodness to be known. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good. Let's not become complacent in that place of strength and hope in God. Let's still day by day pray for his goodness to be known and reflect it through our lives to those around about us. And that's what the psalmist is praying for in verse 4. And then he turns his attention in verse 5 towards those who turn to crooked ways. Those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evil doers. This idea of turning aside is not just like about some slip up. We all do that. This is talking about a very particular determined intention to leave behind God's ways and to choose a different way just now. And remember the sort of literary context here is that there's this journey up to Jerusalem, and the whole point is you want to stay on the right route. Stay on that path towards God and his goodness and his glory. It's very dangerous to journey off in a different direction. God's people are journeying to Jerusalem to bring their worship to him. And here it's like a warning. Don't turn away from that path. Don't turn away. And we are warned in this verse. If that's where we go, if that's the decision we make, if that's the mindset and heart attitude we have, it says God will lead us away. He will send us away with evildoers. Yes, we may turn aside to crooked ways, but it's God that we are ultimately going against in that moment. And it's his judgment that will come on those who pursue, as it says in verse 4, verse 5, those who turn aside to crooked ways. It's sometimes hard, isn't it? Do you ever get that experience where you're reading the Psalms and the first few verses are so encouraging and uplifting? And then you get some verses about God you know, turning aside the evildoers. And you think, oh, that's quite a turn in tone. And it can be hard when we read verses like verse 5. Those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. But it's so important. There are so many wonderful things that we need to hold on to when we read scriptures like that. One is it highlights clearly our need of a Savior. It reminds us again, come to Jesus. If you don't know him today, come to Jesus. Don't turn away. Don't be led off in the path of evil. Come to Jesus. It reminds us starkly of that. And then secondly, it makes clear, and this is encouraging in these days, that evil and evildoers will not have the last word. God is a God of justice and righteousness and peace. And those who come against that will not triumph in their evil. They will be led away with evildoers. So the psalmist then comes to these final beautiful words. He prays, peace be upon Israel. They're preparing themselves for worship of this awesome God to whom we've been singing this morning. And yes, God is to be praised for his strength and the protection that he gives to the people. But I love how here at the end of the psalm, the psalmist lifts his eyes and looks outward. And he prays for his nation, for the peace of God to be upon it. This nation which, just like us, had repeatedly failed to walk in the ways that God had for them. He's praying for peace in this land. And may we be people who would have that same heart to pray for peace. And again, just to guard ourselves from always looking only inwards. It's so easy for us, isn't it, right? To just pray for success to get through the day or for capacity to pull off what we believe that God is calling us to as Hillview Community Church. Lord, bless our ministries. Bless what we're doing here. Strengthen this church so that we might shine for you. You know, that can almost seem like an afterthought. We need to guard against that. We must also have a prayer that rises up inside us. Peace be upon Aberdeen. Peace be upon Aberdeenshire. Peace be upon Scotland and the UK. And yes, peace be upon our world. Yes, including Israel, Palestine. Peace. May we, and again, it's just one of the blessings of church family. Because you'll come across people who have different stories and they're at different moments in their journey with God. And maybe someone is fired up about the glory of God and the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. And as you pray with them, as you meet with them, that rubs off on you. And then you come across someone else who's fired up about the light of Jesus shining forth through fireworks nights and Alpha and other things. And it encourages us. It shapes who we are. Dear friends, there's great hope in this psalm, isn't there? We are made strong. We are protected by God. Some of us need to be reminded of that again today and for this coming week. And there is also this great reminder to look beyond ourselves, to seek after God's ways, that our hands would not be stretched out to do evil, but that we would walk in God's path and that we would pray for his peace to come through people like us. That's how he has ordained for it to happen, dear friends. He is asking us to be his hands and his feet, his voice, his presence of joy and hospitality and welcome next Sunday night, just as one little example. He's calling us to pray, peace be upon Aberdeen. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, come, build your kingdom. May we be a church who know we're strong and protected. And who would have that heart to pray, God, bring your kingdom here. Let's pray. Yeah. Lord, we just pray for your peace to rest in our lives. Even in this moment. Lord, we pray for your peace to come through the work of CNA. The wonderful work that the Moore family are doing. We pray for your peace to come in Ukraine and in the Middle East. We pray for your peace to come in Scotland and Aberdeen, Aberdeenshire. So many, God, just sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, just being led off in crooked, evil paths. God, we pray for your peace to come. And we pray that as we share in that wonderful, what a beautiful thing, God, to be people of peace. We pray that as we share in that work, that we would know that in you we're strong. In you we will abide. In you, even in our weakness, we are strong. Help us know that. Help us know your protection and your care this week. And lead us on, we pray, for your sake. Amen.